When preparing to interview fellows for this podcast, I'll do a little research to provide listeners with some context. Usually that Google search yields LinkedIn accounts, local media coverage, and sometimes statistics from high school glory days. With today's guest, I ended up on IMDb, an online database of information related to films, TV series, and streaming content online. My curiosity was piqued. Welcome to Fund for Teachers, the podcast. I'm Carrie Caton, and the goal of each episode is to elevate teachers as the inspiring architects of their careers, classrooms, and school communities. Today, we are learning from Gabe Staino, who has taught for 12 years both internationally and in the States. But before that, he was childhood friends with Chris Rabb, also known as Rabb himself, a member of the CKY crew featured in the MTV series Viva La Bam and Jackass. Gabe and Chris roomed together and graduated from Shippensburg University of Pennsylvania, and afterwards the lure of Hollywood trumped law school for Gabe, who instead experienced the MTV life with his buddy, toured Europe with the CKY band, and then, with Rabb, co-wrote, co-produced, and starred in the film Borrowed Happiness, thus the IMDb page. Soon after, Gabe took the advice of a college advisor and turned to teaching. And for the past decade, that's been at Atlantic County Institute of Technology in Mays Landing, New Jersey, where he teaches U.S. history, an African American history elective, coaches the mock trial team he founded a decade ago, and is a member of the global professional learning community. In addition to his film credits, Gabe also earned two graduate degrees, one in secondary education for history and social studies from Stockton University, and a master's in history with a global concentration from Arizona State. I thoroughly enjoyed catching up with Gabe from Tanzania just after he left Ethiopia, where he was researching the country's ancient and modern history and culture to more effectively teach about this only African nation never successfully colonized by a European power. I think you're one of a, maybe two Fund for Teachers fellows who has their own IMDb page.
Yeah, I made a short film a few years ago. Another one too. Neither one's going with the wind, but I was in Hot Dog Casserole with my friends who produced that. And then we wrote a short film together and then like co-produced it as well called Borrowed Happiness. I was actually the lead role in that one. It was fun. It was a great experience. Yeah.
How did you transfer into the classroom?
Taught for a year in the States. And then I actually I got a job teaching in East London. So I went there for 2 years in a place called Dagenham, working class. But it was fantastic. I loved my 2 years there. Then I got back and my friend and I, before teaching, after university, I bartended for 2 years. Before I went back, originally I didn't have a teaching degree. Political science. And then I was going to go into law, got accepted to law school, but then just decided not to go and bartended. And it was kind of a unique situation because my friend who produced Hot Dog Casserole and then we wrote the other movie, he is a cast member from Jackass. And I grew up with a lot of those guys in Westchester, Pennsylvania, that area. So we didn't raise much money, but the money we raised was mainly through people that were kind of fans of his. Because of his connections, we were able to get really talented people doing camera work and sound and lighting and whatnot to just do it for free, for fun. So it was an incredible learning experience for me.
It's got to have gotten you some street cred with your students.
Yeah, I mean, little by little, they've... originally, I was really afraid. It's not PBS. At first I was, concerned that they would, find out about it and whatnot, because there is some off color, especially in Hot Dog Casserole, which I didn't write. But Borrowed Happiness, I did. That's about the bar business, bar regulars and whatnot. Now I'm not worried about it anymore. And it has given me a little streak of.
How did you decide to become a teacher when you decided that law school wasn't for you? Like, what was the path that got you into the classroom?
Well, coincidentally, at that point, my best friend, who was my roommate in college, and then we were living together right after college. All of a sudden, was on a successful TV show, and that was a really a lot of fun. And I wasn't ready to dive back into school yet, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like Jackass versus law school, like I don't know.
I was never, you know, in Jackass. I was there around a lot. I really enjoyed it.
So anyone listening to this, don't send the complaint letters to you because you were not in the show.
Yeah, no, you could see me in the background in a few of the Viva La Bam episodes. I was there, like, you know, I got to see Slayer at Bam's house, like down the street with 100 people and whatnot, which is amazing. but I've always loved history. In fact, it was the only thing I loved about school. Like in high school, it was the only class I cared at all about, unfortunately. But I always had a passion for it. After college, everything that I should have read before, I started reading. And there was actually one of my advisors in college. We used to have these long talks, and he recommended I go into teaching. And it always kind of went in the back of my mind.
Well, let me backtrack a little bit, because it looks like on your proposal, you're part of a Global Learning PLC, and mm-hmm. you were trying to add some non-European history into the curriculum. Why pick Ethiopia and Zanzibar of all the places that you could design a fellowship?
Well, I'm in Stone Town right now, and then tomorrow I take a ferry to the mainland, to Dar es Salaam, and then from there I'll travel a bit inland to Morogoro and Banyamo, a little bit north. But I mean, Ethiopia, simply because humanity started there. That's our best guess of where all human beings developed, on that plateau, Ethiopia, Kenya, somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, you posted a picture on your Instagram with the bones of Lucy.
And in the National Museum. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so that's part of the reason. But I've always been fascinated with it, you know, like Lalibela, and those churches carved into the stone, and the mouth of the Blue Nile, the elevation, and then and the people are beautiful. It just, I can go on and on. I also teach African American studies, and like the colors of Ethiopia, the green, the yellow, the red, have come to represent Pan-Africanism and resistance to colonization. It's the only nation that's never been successfully colonized by a European power or a foreign power. And that's an inspiration for not only Africa as a whole, but not only that, people of color globally, and freedom-loving people that look like me as well. I mean, that's inspiring. It's something to look towards. And it's the home of the African Union, the African headquarters for the United Nations. There's many, many reasons. I'm a big reggae fan, Bob Marley. Before I knew who Rastafari was, I knew the name Rastafari, and I knew that he was talking about somebody or something. And I wrote my thesis for my master's in history on Haile Selassie. And for those reasons that I've stated, and others that I don't know, maybe I can't explain or.
Because of all those things, Gabe, it really sounds like it's almost been like a pilgrimage for you.
It has. It seems strange to say that, especially since greatest moment in 1896. The Battle of Adwa, when they successfully defeated the invading Italian army, some of my ancestors were probably fighting on the Italian side. it's strange because most of my family, all of my family came from Italy, but a majority came post 1896, you know, and some not until the 1920s and early 30s. So as most Italian Americans, they were from the South in very poor areas, which usually is where you draw your soldiers from. Just an educated guess that, you know, some of them were probably there.
That is fascinating, Gabe.
And like, wow. That is memorialized everywhere. Hasi, he was, you know, the emperor it was the inspiration for, you know, Rastafarianism, associated with Marcus Garvey.
Yeah.
And they celebrate him so much, I think, because he's so globally known. But really, I think who they really celebrate the most is Menelik II. His uncle, who was emperor during the time of the Battle of Adwa in the 1890s. I mean, he had passed away and didn't have a son, and it went to his daughter, and then Tafari became Rastafari, and then had Haile Selassie. But later on, to to then, you know, be invaded by Mussolini, then regain control a few years later and never be successfully dominated by foreign powers. It's
something that I've never learned about. In my master's program, I took some African history, African-American literature courses, because it was a real lacuna in my education. And that's when I learned about Marcus Garvey, and that's when I learned about Ethiopia. And I still don't know about the battle that you're talking about. And I certainly didn't know that they were the only country that had never been colonized. So what do you hope that this type of exposure that you are gaining, that rounds out things you might have learned about in books, will give to your students? Because you work in a school that is markedly different from any other school. There are academies, and it's like career, it seems like, that there's a fashion academy and there's a culinary academy. How do you plan on integrating? And you may not even know, it's so vast, but I know that you had plans when you wrote your proposal. And now that you're there, what do you see it looking like when you go back?
I think there are ways to incorporate into everything. And I teach U.S. history to sophomores and juniors, but they're all from all different academies. My African-American studies is elective, and they're seniors, but the kids that are in fashion, they can create traditional Ethiopian clothing. Our culinary kids can make an attempt to make the injera bread. Performing arts, Amhara music, I went and saw some of it. It's fantastic. We have performing arts kids that some of them focus in vocals, some of them focus dance, some of them focus drama. Maybe we can create a scene surrounding the Battle of Adwa, or recreating the speech that Haile Selassie gave to the United Nations when he went into exile in 1936, which really galvanized the international community and started really turning the tide towards anti-colonization. But our students, they're talented. I'd like to see one of them recreate that speech and deliver it. And beyond that, I have pictures of the markets in Addis. It's astounding. I mean, there's a lot of poverty, and right now it's bad because of what's been going on around the country. There's no tourism. They depend on that. And the guy that I just happened to run into, because he was hanging out around Trinity Church, Hermias, he has a university degree in tourism, and that's what he does, but he hasn't worked in years. And we just spent 2 days together, and it was amazing. It was perfect.
You just bumped into him in Trinity Church.
Outside. I was not able to get in there, but I was just like wandering around. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I just landed late the night before and just got a cab around there. He was just looking for someone to talk to, someone to help out. And I, you know, went home and slept for like 6 hours, and then just came out in the morning again. And then just took me a little bit out of the city. We go to the original capital, which Addis is already 27 meters elevation, but then we go up another 600. And it's such an inexpensive way too. He was made like just taking me little bus. You know, it was also kind of gnarly how we were, but it was perfect for me.
Well, something that I think that epitomizes is something that we encourage our fellows to go where the learning goes. It can be very daunting to say, design a fellowship to go wherever you want and to do whatever you want to do to learn, because people don't ask teachers what they want to do and what they want to learn. So we ended up having a blog and podcast and a rich social media to be able to show teachers exemplars of what is possible, and really anything is possible. But what you just explained is you having that written down, but then being willing to throw it out the window. If you meet someone in front of Trinity Church and they say, do you want to learn something? And you're like, yeah, man, let's tell me.
Yeah. Next thing you know, like literally 15 minutes later, I'm at the tomb of Menelik II in this basement of his mausoleum, which like used to be the palace. He's telling me, all right, the new palace that was built where the prime minister lives. He's like, all right, there, don't even point your camera. Don't look too long at it because there are armed guards, and I guess because of what's going on in the country. But then I'm down there just hanging out at the tomb of Menelik, his wife and his daughter, and then this deacon there is playing this drum and doing the whole thing for me, just me, and then giving it to me and telling me to do it. And then I'm in we go to Haile Selassie's palace, which now is Addis Ababa University. It just happened to be on graduation day. It was beautiful. Kids are all just this proud moment. I'm just stumbling upon it, and I get to somehow be a part of that and congratulate the kids. And then just going into Haile Selassie's bedroom and hanging out there, and nobody else is there. And Hermias and I are just hanging out. And I mean, it was wonderful for me. But it's a shame because so many more people should be experiencing this. And I know everywhere in the world is very special, but this place is.
Well, I will say when I saw the photos of you in the mausoleum on your, again, on your Instagram site, I had not yet pulled up your media profile, so I didn't know what you look like.
Mm.
But there's a picture of a guy inside the mausoleum, which this sacred site, playing a drum with a drum wrapped around his neck. And I thought, well, that can't be our fellow Gabe, because this is in the middle of one of the most holy, sacred places in the country. And so who is this guy that he sent me a picture, that he posted a picture of? And then I pull up your media profile. I was like, oh my gosh.
I would never have
played a drum in the mausoleum.
Like, I wouldn't have been like, yo, can I get that? Because I have a video like as long as like of him doing the whole thing. And I was just like, unbelievable. Yeah. But then he was like, here. I'm not going to say no, but like, so I hope nobody thinks that it's disrespectful because he's kind of like the, you know, the keeper of
keeper,
the place.
And yeah. Yeah.
He said that I do it. I have a video. He said I did a great job. Yeah, I do. I don't agree with him, but I try.
Well, yeah. I think it's also interesting. I mean, when you say that there's lots of special places around the world, of course, I think you've chosen to go to a place that is not very well known. And if people do know about it, it is most likely from textbooks or from internet searches, and that you are there and that you have gone into these places and that you, I believe that there are no happy coincidences, but that you stumbled upon a graduation ceremony. That's all will shape how you, what you bring back and what you tell your students. And
that's unfortunate because what I knew about Ethiopia as a child.
The Band-Aid concert for the people in Ethiopia.
It was Live Aid, right?
Live Aid, yeah.
Which happened in Philadelphia, which is where I'm from. Coincidentally, Freddie Mercury was born in Zanzibar. I went to his birthplace today. And there's all the piano that he played at Live Aid is there in his outfit, which is pretty cool. Yeah, it's literally just down the street. But yeah, Live Aid and then the famine, right? Right now it's making me emotional, but like, that's all, you know, that's all.
We have another fellow, her name is Danae Pinkney, and she is in Indiana. She just returned from Ghana. She also has an African-American history class, but one of the main reasons that she went to these countries is because she said my students, none of them had been to Africa. None of them knew of anyone who had gone to Africa. And they talked of it as if it was like C.S. Lewis's Narnia, this magical place. And she's like, no, it's a real place. And you're from there originally. You have, your ancestry is there. And she went and she went to show them the rainforest. And so she was up in the rainforest. So then she went and she was in this floating village. And they were like, you mean they have forests there? And they're like, oh yeah, it's a rainforest. You and I did not have that benefit of having different points of view, different sides of the story. Like you're saying, all we had was that all the rock stars were raising money for the kids in Ethiopia who didn't have any food. And that was Ethiopia. And so I think just the way that you'll expose your students, it will affect their worldview forever.
I agree. And I mean, like many facets of our civilization, I mean, it came from here. I posted a picture of these adorable kids learning this ancient language of Ge'ez. And that predates their Amharic language now. That like led to Hebrew. And Aramaic, what these children are learning, found ways impacted all of our civilization, like was predated it and almost created it. It's, but no, I agree with everything that fellow said. And not only our students, but our family, our friends, you know, to come back and change their mind. And because some of them I know that they're just like, why would you want to go there? And then I'll show you. Watch. And it's just awesome too. I'm just enjoying it selfishly.
How did you find out about Fund for Teachers?
From my friend David Wilson, great guy. I met him doing NEH summer course in Mississippi Delta. Afterwards, you know, we kept in touch, hung out. But he had done this cool thing where he's a music teacher, but also an English teacher, and he walked the Canterbury Trail.
Yeah, he stayed in some of the chapels.
Yeah, such a cool guy. Yeah, and he's been like commenting on the whole thing. He's like, I'm glad you made it finally. Yeah, that's who I found out about it from.
Oh, I love that. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was probably 2016.
I was going to say 16. Yeah, that was fascinating. He was trying to make the Canterbury Tales more relevant to high school students in literature. And so he walked the Canterbury Trails and ended up staying in one of the churches. And
that was so cool. Like, he told me about that. And so then, yeah, I taught in London for 2 years. So like I said, I used to create my own tours just for me, like Oliver Twist and A Tale of Two Cities, that kind of thing. I made my own Oliver Twist tours where like I found out exactly where Fagin's Lair would have been, where Bill Sykes was from, where Oliver met the Dodger, that kind of thing. And so I would just walk myself and make these tours. So I proposed Fun for Teachers to do A Tale of Two Cities thing, kind of like that, between London and Paris. I didn't get that. And I understand why. Yeah, like,
what do you think was the difference with this one?
Because, I don't know, everyone goes to London and Paris. Mm. That's why. I suggest that people go to London and Paris at some point, but make your proposals, like, go somewhere that makes all of your family and friends uncomfortable when you tell them that you're going there. And then show them that it wasn't necessary to feel uncomfortable about that.
Outside of the comfort zone is an okay place to be.
You know, if it's not in a war zone and the U.S. doesn't have terrible diplomatic relations with that country, go to the gnarliest place you can.
I mean, when else are you going to get to do it, really? I mean, you wouldn't take your wife and your 3 children there. So we had a lot of people this summer go to the Get Your Teach On conference in Dallas, and they loved it. And that's so great, because what we do is we say, you know what your students need, go do that. And one has the freedom to say, I think I'm going to go to the gnarliest place I can. We're nationally unique in that. So I think you took advantage of it.
Grateful. And a lot of people, I mean, I'm benefiting from it. A lot of people are going to benefit from this. And maybe gnarly is not necessarily the right word. I don't know. You had to have read something at some point or saw something that just piqued a little interest, but you never really thought it's a possibility. Make it a possibility. Think about it and just go for it. If you get denied, try again next year.
Yeah. This is total happenstance, but the people with whom I've been speaking from their fellowships, I think every single one have said, I didn't get it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And one person said she didn't get it 3 times. She ended up in Iceland. And I love the perseverance, which also is a model for your students. But she was like, you know, I just kept refining it and had people look at it. And I learned a lot when I was doing the proposal anyway. So, I mean, but I'm so glad that you didn't give up. And so you would tell teachers to think about something that piqued your curiosity. That's a word that we use a lot, is curiosity at Fun for Teachers. What are you curious about?
Yeah. And that's being a teacher, right? Because if you're curious about it, you learn about it. You really learn about it and you're curious about it, you can become passionate about it. And if you're passionate about it, you're really into something. That's what makes you a good teacher. Your students might get good grades, but like, if you don't care about what you're teaching, you're not going to be effective. They're not going to care about it. For the record, I care about everything I'm teaching. But
the opposite is true too. When you started talking about making those tours and talking about the Dickensian characters, and your eyes kind of lit up and you can see, and it gives me chills right now thinking about it. If you have that passion, and especially then when that's backed up with firsthand evidence and living it, that also is infectious. Just as someone who's going through the motions and waiting for the bell to ring, we're going after those teachers like you to say, you're already a great teacher. What do you need to do for you to go to the next level? And how is that going to trickle over to your students? And that's kind of the Venn diagram of what we're going for, that slice right in the middle of those teachers who are curious and intrepid, I think is another word I think about a lot, and willing to make it happen.
So. Well, fantastic thing. And I'm grateful. And it's a wonderful organization, and it's so beneficial. Because I've been afforded this experience, my students are going to benefit from it. And my guy, Armias, he's going to know my students. My students are going to know him. Within a week, we'll be on Google Meet or whatever. And I'll be back to Ethiopia. I will I will be at Lalibela. I will be at Gondor. I will be Barad-dûr. I will be at Axum. Because I'm still in the midst of this. It's hard to, like, I don't know. I think later on, just be able to make sense of everything. And
yeah. The last thing I'll say is that we tell our fellows also, this is just the beginning. You think your proposal is the beginning? Mm-mm. And you think maybe even being on your fellowship is the beginning? You're realizing, I think now, this is the beginning of a whole new me, a whole new teacher, a whole new student plan.
Yeah, I know it's going to make me a better teacher. I think it's going to make me a better person. It's going to make me a better father and husband. It's life-changing.
Thank you to Fun for Teachers fellow Gabe Staino for sharing his insight mid-fellowship from Tanzania. We look forward to using this podcast to elevate more teachers as the inspiring architects of their careers, classrooms, and school communities. But you can learn from more than 10,000 Fund for Teachers fellows now by visiting fundforteachers.org or check us out on various social media platforms. And you can start your application for a Fund for Teachers grant beginning October the 1st at fft.fundforteachers.org. I'm Carrie Caton. Thank you for joining us today at Fun for Teachers, the podcast. Until next time, keep learning.